Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is as good of a signpost of what we're dealing with when it comes to climate change as just about anything. This is one of the most studied glaciers because it's so easily accessible. But what it indicates, because of the changing patterns of winters with less snow, longer, hotter summers, is how rapidly the glacier is receding. And, you know, it sends a message about the urgency that we're going to need to have when it comes to dealing with this.
You know, here it is again, the big lie. Just a big lie. He keeps it up. You know, another radical would be happy with having pushed socialized medicine on America or any of the other signature events of the history of this radical, and now giving Iran a path to a nuclear weapon, which we'll talk about today, because it's astonishing that Kerry actually admitted why they don't have the guts to stop Iran. I'll play a soundbite where he gave it away. In the midst of his long-winded intellectualisms, Kerry actually said why they're not going to stop Iran now. And, of course, Obama is a maniac in the sense that he has no limitation on what damage he wants to do to this nation to bring it to its knees. So he goes up there, changes the name of a mountain to an indigenous name in order to get the people up there who don't vote to, first of all, buy into his lie about fossil fuels, which supplies a good number of jobs and income to the indigenous people. So he changes the name of the mountain in order to sway them to his false viewpoint. Nobody told this community organizer, apparently, about the ice ages when he was at Columbia. He was too busy reading Karl Marx and Saul Alinsky. There have been five ice ages that we know of, dating back as far as 850 million years ago. The last one was in the Pliocene Quaternary era, which began about 2.5 million years ago, Mr. Obama, and it ended 10,000 years ago. And Mr. Obama, I know you didn't read this in Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, but in these five ice ages, there was an in-between period. And in between all of these ice ages, Mr. Obama, the Earth was warming for thousands of years before it began to cool again. And you know, Mr. Obama, what happens during the warming periods? The ice sheets melt and sea levels rise. Mr. Obama, I know you didn't study this at Columbia, but I think your daughters are probably learning that in the seventh grade. Also, Mr. Obama, something that you didn't learn at Columbia is that when glaciers recede, what you find are tree stumps. What does that mean, Mr. Obama? Now, kind of put your thinking cap on, not your rhetoric cap. Put on your thinking cap, Mr. Obama. When glaciers recede, you see tree stumps. What does that mean? It means that not long ago, the glacier was in a similar stage as now, without global warming caused by any anthropogenic source. Shall I go on, Mr. Liar-in-Chief, trying to con the world into this? I'll go on. Mr. Obama, you didn't learn this while you were at Columbia University. But in the 1500s, the Vatican and 97% of the scientists in the 1500s, the Vatican, oh, wait till he comes here, the bouncer from Rome. Wait until Rome sends their bouncer around the world. The Vatican and 97% of the scientists in the 1500s said the Earth is the center of the universe, Mr. Obama. In the 1960s, while you were, I guess, a young man or young student, we were told, beware the coming ice age. It was in the front of Time magazine. In the 1970s, the moron, Jimmy Carter, said the world will run out of fossil fuel in the next decade. That's Jimmy Carter. In the 1980s, we were warned that we're all going to die of skin cancer because of the hole in the ozone layer. In the 1990s, we were told that at the turn of the millennium, all the computers in the world will fail and send the world into chaos. In the 2000s, Al Gorleone came along and made a fortune saying, beware global warming. In 2010s, we were warned climate change will create monster storms and weather anomalies that are going to destroy the world. Mr. Obama, look back, because in the 1880s, there was a very wise man named P.T. Barnum who wrote, there is a sucker born every minute. Also, Mr. Obama, you may not have read this in your years as a community organizer using a staple gun on bulletin boards around Chicago. But 15,000 years ago, Mr. Obama, there was a glacier that covered all of North America. Are we to blame the Industrial Revolution for its demise? Or do you know, Mr. Obama, that 10,000 years ago, the land that you live in was buried in over 300 feet of ice? And it's all gone. Just because of those stupid mastodons passing gas. If only Al Gore and O'Dummy were around, then this might have been prevented. They could have stopped this from happening. They could have, I guess, interned the mastodons. And they could have told them to stop eating carbon-based plants. And then him and Al Gore and O'Dummy would scratch their heads, and they could have saved the world, and we would still have 300 feet of ice over North America. This is the savage nation, what sad times we live in, that a con man like this, a man as thin as this intellectually, can march around the globe doing so much damage, including the damage of promoting a fraud like this in open daylight. Now, I want to go on to the next one. Today, John Kerry gave a long intellectual speech on why we should give Iran the bomb, while saying we're doing this to make sure they don't get the bomb. And it was interesting. I didn't listen to the whole thing. It became boring, and I watched him, and I got agitated because I saw him lying. His eyes become shaded. His eyes become shadowy. I remember him throwing his Vietnam-era medals over the wall and joining the anti-American protesters. I remember what an evil man John Kerry really is, what a slimy creature he really is. But let's put aside my distaste for this pack of left-wing fanatics that are ruining America and the world, and let's look at the words themselves. Let you liberals who listen to me, because you know secretly you agree with most of what I say, even though you say I don't agree with you, I'm going to give you an example of how John Kerry gave away why he and Obama, mainly Obama, has appeased and capitulated to the mullahs in Tehran in clip number 2 on the Savage Nation.
My friends, it just doesn't make sense to conclude that we should vote no now because of what might happen in 15 years, thereby guaranteeing that what might happen in 15 years will actually begin to happen now. Because if this agreement is rejected, every possible reason for worry in the future would have to be confronted now, immediately.
Stop. Stop. Listen to what John Kerry just gave away. Somebody put a poison pill in his speech. His speechwriter actually gave away the big lie. He said, if the agreement is rejected with Iran, every possible reason for worry in the future would have to be confronted now. That's precisely why it should be confronted now. This is precisely why Iran should be confronted now, when they are relatively weak. They know that. And the appeasing cowards in the Obama administration have capitulated to the worst terrorist nation on the earth exactly for that reason. They're passing the buck to future generations of leadership. They're selling us out to Iran now. The Obama-Iran axis of evil has just been exposed for what they really are. So those are two opening gambits on the Savage Nation. By the way, at the bottom of this hour, 34 minutes after the hour, we have the great Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. And I'm opening this lineup right now to, I don't want to talk about Donald Trump now. I want you to call about global warming. I want you to call about the Iran deal. And after Mr. Trump leaves us, we can talk about Mr. Trump and what he said, because I'm going to ask him some very important questions, and I'll tell you right now what I intend to ask him on one front. I'm going to ask him about tariffs, because I wrote in my book many years ago, my book, Trickle Up Poverty, which I think was published in 2010. It's still a wonderful book, has a great deal of information, published 2010. In Trickle Up Poverty, in my 37-point plan to save America and the world, point 18 was impose tariffs on China. We must draw a line in the sand with regard to China in order to loosen their stranglehold on our economy, I wrote, by imposing a 20% tariff on all goods produced in China. Now, Mr. Trump, I think, agrees with me on tariffs. There are people in the media who claim to be conservatives who are so lacking in knowledge, it's frightening. They spent their whole life inside government, hiding behind microphones. They never did business. They never sold lemonade. They don't know anything about business. They know nothing about export-import. I know a lot about export-import, and I know an awful lot about international business, and who knows more about international business than Donald Trump? Some thin-brained phony on the radio with a microphone who tells you that he's a conservative and then attacks Trump on tariffs, espousing the line of the Club for Growth, the most anti-conservative group in America. How much can you people take until you open up your eyes to who you're listening to? But let's put that aside. Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. Do you know that if you export products to Mexico that you have to pay a tariff to get your product into Mexico? Are you aware of that? Are you aware that if you try to sell something into China, you have to pay a tariff to the Chinese government? Are you aware of that? How naive can you be to listen to people in the radio business who pose as conservatives and then espouse liberal viewpoints on business because they don't understand business? So the first thing I'm going to ask Mr. Trump is about tariffs, and let him explain to you, the audience, how tariffs work to the advantage of the American worker and the American industrial base, which has been hollowed out by these sellouts in government who have told us, oh, no, we don't need tariffs. It'll set off a trade war. Oh, no, that's the exact opposite of what we need. We need tariffs. You want a trade war? Give them a trade war. Give them a trade war. Hollow out their industrial base. Let's see the factories closing in China. Let's see the factories closing in Mexico. And let's see the factories opening in America. That will solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it? The inner city crime problem we have would be reduced because they have a job to go to, as their fathers once did. A lot of reasons to impose tariffs that you can't find in a textbook of conservatism 101. And so if you want to talk about these topics, the phone number is 855-407-2822. Remember, if you get on this show with me, you'll reach more people than you've met in your entire life. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So there he is again, now pushing the lie about global warming again, to see what he can rake out of the economy before he leaves for his friends who make billions of dollars in industries surrounding the anti-fossil fuel mania. There is more money right now in solar than there is in heroin. There is more money now in this than there was in drugs. And don't think that criminals have not gone into the solar business. I can't be specific because I still have a number of years left on the earth that I respect God has given me to help disseminate the truth. But I've never seen anything like this. This man's mania for lies and to pull the wool over people's eyes is so shocking. The climate change lie is one of the greatest lies in history. So he goes there and he sees a glacier that's melting. And he says that here's a post marked 1926. And then there's a post reading 1951. And shows that the glacier is retreating. And what this community organizer didn't learn in the gutters of Chicago as he was organizing the rabble to get into his first office, is that ice has been retreating for thousands of years. He didn't learn that in the gutters of Chicago from Saul Alinsky. He didn't learn a lot of things. And I guess he didn't even learn the basics that they teach a kid in the third grade. You see, Mr. Obama, when ice warms above 32 degrees Fahrenheit for any length of time, it actually melts. You understand how that works? You see how that works? And Mr. Obama, do you understand that this is a big lie? We know that 15,000 years ago there was a glacier that covered all of North America, and it's been retreating ever since. Mr. Obama, please study some basic science, and you will see a phase in climate called the Little Ice Age. Did you know about the Little Ice Age and what happened in Europe and North America? Of course, your ancestors weren't here, nor were mine. The Native Americans were here. And they have historical records of the Little Ice Age, when they all almost froze to death. And what happened after the Little Ice Age is the ice started to melt. It began around 1440 AD. And there was no industrialization at that time. And so there was a little ice age, you see, that's why. And the fact of the matter is, well, now we're into another warming phase. It's another warming phase, and that's what we're living through. Which is not to argue for pollution. I mean, I've been fighting pollution and trying to save rainforests for 30, 40 years. So don't put me in the category of being a polluter. I just like the truth. You see, also, Mr. Obama, if you study any history of the Vikings, you will learn this, and it's not in Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. The Vikings settled Greenland when it was green. That's why it was called Greenland. And they did farming and raised livestock. And Mr. Obama, again, you didn't find this in the tractates of Karl Marx, but when the Vikings settled Greenland, there was a period of between the year 600 and 800 AD. And then what happened, Mr. Obama, is the mini ice age occurred from about the mid-1300s to the mid-1800s. And Greenland became covered with ice. And do you know what usually follows an ice age, Mr. Obama? I'm sure you know this. It's called warming, a warming age. And the reason you are able to screw the world with this big lie, along with the bouncer from Rome, who's coming here to do more on this, is because people are stupid. They're not learning basic science. They're idiots. They're uneducated dolts, which is how a man like you could become president to begin with and get away with what you've been getting away with. The people are stupid. They know nothing about ice. They know nothing about warming. They know nothing about when ice melts. They know nothing about history. They know nothing about geography, nothing about geology, and they don't care. All they care is that you go up there in your billion-dollar airplane with your entourage spewing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and take a boat ride spewing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and lecture the world. You phony, you! And this is the world you live in because of a community organizer like this. When I come back, the last hope for the United States of America and the world is Donald Trump. He'll be with us on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. All right, welcome to the Savage Nation, where I guess borders, language, and culture prevail for the last 21 years. Let's not waste any time. The latest poll, Trump 30%, Carson 12%, Bush 8%. And we're going to have Donald Trump on right now. He's been gracious enough to come on the Savage Nation. Donald, so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be with you.
So the polls certainly show that the people are responding to you. Do you want to comment on that, or would you rather move on to fundamental questions?
Well, I'm just happy that it's, you know, it is nice because that means quite a bit to me. And, you know, when I first entered, they all said I'd never run, and then they said I'll never file, and then I said they said, well, he'll never file his financials because maybe they're not as good as people think. And I filed them, and it was almost 100 pages, and they turned out to be much better than anyone ever had even imagined. It's you know, more than a $10 billion net worth, which I only say because that's the kind of thinking our country needs when we deal with China, when we deal with Japan and Mexico and all these countries that are ripping us off, and they won't be doing it for long, believe me. So, you know, so it was, it's really nice to see the kind of polls we're getting. They're getting really phenomenal.
Well, look, here's the thing. Many people are trying to rip you down because you're challenging the Republican establishment on many issues, including the economy. They're open borders traders. They're free traders, open borders people. I want to ask you about tariffs. Back in 2010, I published a book in which it was entitled Trickle Up Poverty, in which I called for tariffs on goods from China, and I asked for 20% tariff on all goods produced in China. My opinion is that tariffs would stop their hollowing out of our industries. The industries would come back to America. I'd like to see their factories go empty, not ours. I'd like to see our factories working again. There are people in the radio business who don't understand business, Donald, who say that you're all wrong on tariffs. Could you explain to the world why tariffs are in the interest of the American worker?
Okay, so simple. Look, we have a country, let's take China, and everybody's ripping us. You know, we don't have any country that we do well with, practically, but virtually every country is ripping us. Let's say China is the number one abuser. They devalue their currency. They just devalued it 3 weeks ago, the biggest devaluation in 20 years. They keep devaluing. It makes it impossible for our businesses to compete. And just so you understand, if you try and sell to China, If you are, I have a friend who's a manufacturer. They charge him a massive tax every time he sells. We don't, because we don't know what we're doing. We have leaders that truly don't have a clue. I mean, I think it's only that they're incompetent. I hope it's not worse than that. But they don't have a clue. So it's a one-way street. When China devalues, we should immediately put on a tax, because all they're doing is sucking the money and the jobs out of the United States. I said the other day to somebody, for the first time I said it, which is sort of unusual because I've been saying this about China for a long time, I said it's the single greatest theft in the history of the United States, maybe the world, the money they've taken out, the jobs they've taken out. We've rebuilt China. I mean, we have actually rebuilt China. They've taken so much from us. Okay, so when you do the tariff or tax, we call it anything you want, but when you do, you're neutralizing the damage that they're doing to you. And we have a one-way. Now, I'd like to see no tax, and I'd like to see them even with us and not cheating us, okay?
Okay, right.
When you do the tariff, when you do the tax, what we're doing is neutralizing some of the damage that they're doing to us by taking our jobs and taking our money. You know, the interesting thing, we right now owe China $1.4 trillion. So think of it. They've taken our jobs, they've taken our base, they've taken our money, and we owe them $1.4 trillion. $1.4 trillion. That we're paying interest on. That's like a magic act. So it's a very sad thing.
But it's not just China. Donald, it's not just China. I've studied this in great detail. And products from the United States entering Mexico that do not qualify under the NAFTA rules are subject to Mexico's MFN rates of duty. And I have a tariff table. I won't read it on the air. I won't waste your time. They're awesome. They range up to 30%. On goods that are not on protected by NAFTA. But if you go to the bottom of the list, your hair would stand up on the additional import taxes and fees. Mexico has an IVA or VAT, value-added tax on most sales transactions, including sales of foreign products. The fact of the matter is we're being killed even by the Mexican government.
Mexico is killing us, and they're killing us at the border, and they're killing us at trade. You know, Ford is building a $2.5 billion plant in Mexico. Nabisco announced they're leaving Chicago, and they're going to build a massive plant down in Mexico, taking a lot of jobs. It's so incredible how stupid the leaders and the negotiators are that we have. Now, I have Carl Icahn lined up, who's a great negotiator. I have some of the greatest negotiators in the world lined up. That will not happen for very long, believe me. That'll all end. It's a one-way street. Every country, and I would say virtually, you look at Brazil, you look at other countries, you look at Japan. How about Japan? They sell us millions of cars pour into this country, millions of cars. They pour in. We give them beef, and they don't want it. You know, a lot of times the boats get over there, they turn it back. It is, and it's perishable. It is a disgraceful situation, and the problem is that our leaders are not smart, and they're not cunning, and the world has taken advantage. And that's why we're losing so much money, and that's why we owe $19 trillion.
Donald, I live near San Francisco Bay. I see ships coming in from Japan loaded with Hondas and Toyotas, and the ship is weighted down to its waterline on the way in as they dump them up in Vallejo. I see the ships going back high in the water. The waterline is 20 feet above the bay. They're not even taking straw back with them from this country. The only thing they're taking back to China and Japan, believe it or not, is scrap metal. The same way in the 1930s we were selling scrap metal to Japan. It's awesome to see history repeating itself. But I want to move on to national security, Donald, because to me the number one issue, of course, is the economy. But internationally, we know Obama's doing nothing against ISIS to speak of. He could bomb the training camps and put them out of business in less than a week, according to generals who are retired and willing to speak out. If you were president, I hope you are, what would you do to stop this plague, this plague of people who are raping, kidnapping, murdering, selling young girls into slavery? It's something awesome to see the world standing by. As commander-in-chief, what would you do?
Well, you would knock the hell out of the training camps, and that one's a given, and it's incredible that we don't do it, and we know where they are, and we don't do it. It's almost like, are we protecting these people? These are the worst people. But you do that. I say you go and take the oil, because a big portion of their wealth comes from the oil. You understand. They took the oil from Syria, from Iraq. They have a lot of oil. You know, they're redoing a hotel right now in Iraq or Syria. They're actually building it. They're like in competition with me. They're building a hotel. I mean, you believe ISIS is building a hotel. And it's actually just completed. I hear it's very nice, but I don't think...
Are you serious? They're building a hotel? Yeah. I pray to God they're not going to provide captive children for sex parties. I mean, this is sickening. These people are trading in children as young as 8 years of age in brothels, Donald.
No, it's horrible. So it'll end. Believe me, if I'm president, it'll end, and it'll end quickly.
What do we do about all of the people that Obama has planted inside the government who are so secure in the bureaucracy, inside defense, inside the Justice Department, and they cannot be gotten out? Could you use executive orders to remove some of the most radical of them?
I think you get them out. I think we have a lot of people that now are bureaucrats, and, you know, they talk about Common Core, like Jeb Bush, and a lot of people love Common Core. And I like local education. But you have a lot of these bureaucrats in Department of Education. I don't think they even care. Many of them don't care about your child's education. And, frankly, there's so much fat in Washington right now. And there are a lot of people that just have essentially no-show jobs in Washington. Everybody knows it. Nobody talks about it. And it'll stop.
Donald, do you think the government should be running our schools as they currently do? I don't think so. You just said so.
I think we're talking about, you know, when you talk about Common Core, where, again, Jeb Bush and a couple of people that are running against me on the Republican side, they're in favor of Common Core, but Jeb is strongly in favor of Common Core. And I think that alone would be a reason, and he's weak on immigration, you know, very weak on immigration, as you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw what I did yesterday with the They Come for Love.
I did see that. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard Jeb Bush say. Who wrote that for him?
I don't know. I don't get it. They come for love. In the meantime, you see what happened in San Francisco with Kate and so many other people. It's disgraceful. But
And Kate's parents are filing a lawsuit against this crazy city and against Sheriff Murky Kami and the others who freed that illegal alien and who killed their daughter. It's crazy going on in America. What's crazy is going on in America right now. People are screaming about the illegal aliens. The number one issue for you, I know that. And you would build a wall. By the way, I agree 100%. A wall is rather cheap to build. I don't know what these prognosticators are saying. It's so hard to build. As you said, it's harder to build a 50-story building than it is to build a wall. You want to talk about that for a minute? How hard is that to figure out?
The wall is so easy to build. You know, one of the reasons it wasn't built, you know, 15 years ago and 10 years ago, Hillary Clinton, everybody wanted the wall. You know, one of the reasons it wasn't built? Because they couldn't get an environmental impact statement. Do you believe this? We couldn't. They couldn't get it approved environmentally because they
There was probably a reptile on the border that would have been crushed by the wall. But I say walls work, and the best example, Mr. Trump, is Israel. Everybody forgets that the Palestinians were killing Jews left and right, blowing up discos, blowing up pizza parlors, and the Jews were building a wall with the West Bank, and the very same liberals who were screaming, don't build a wall with Mexico, said Israel's racist, Israel's this, Israel's that, don't build a wall. Guess what? Since that wall went up with the West Bank, I haven't seen one bombing.
Right. You know what? It worked very well in Israel, and it works in other places, and it'll work great here. Now, you have to build a wall. You can't build like a little toy that they have now where people just crawl over the fence or they get a little ladder from Home Depot and they walk over the fence. Build fences. I build walls. You ever see the precast plank where they do parking garages and roadways over highways and like what they can do? And you stand it on end, and you know, it's what I do best, in all fairness, what I do best in life, which is nice to have a president that knows about infrastructure. Because the country, it is literally, our infrastructure is just dying on us. The bridges, the roads, the tunnels, the airports, Michael. So, anyway, but you get precast plank, very tall. You can go 50, 60 feet high. Nobody's going up 50. That's like a six-story. You drop it right into a footing, into a good solid footing, and you've got yourself. And you can have it made beautiful. You'd actually have it as a beautiful-looking wall. You'd make it architectural. You'd make it beautiful. And people wouldn't get on it. And there's no way you get through it. And you
wait, and I assume you would not have these planks built in China. I make that assumption.
Built? No. They'll be built right here. Believe me, they're not being built in China.
Donald, before you go, the polls are amazing. HuffPost, no less, tracking 149 different polls from 29 pollsters nationwide. Trump 30%, Carson 12%, Bush 8%. Would you? I know it's too soon. But people are asking, because I feel a Trump-Carson or a Trump-Fiorina ticket would be a winner. I don't see how that could lose. I think that Ben Carson is one of the finest people I've ever seen come along. I don't think he's presidential material. I don't think he has the experience to run the office. I think he'd be a great vice president. What do you think?
Well, I like him a lot. He's been very nice to me. He's been very supportive, because when I was taking heat, he agreed with pretty much everything I said. So it's always nice. And so I do like him. I think he's a terrific guy, actually.
but you're not willing to say who you'd pick for VP. You're not there yet.
I mean, I would certainly not rule that out at all. I think it's an interesting choice. It could be a very good choice. But we have to see really where we are, the landscape, in, you know, 6-7 months from now. Let's see. First thing I want to do is win. After I win, I want to, you know, make a great choice, and I'll be talking to you, and I'll be talking to other people, because, frankly, we that's, to me, the vice president, you know, that's a very important choice, not
totally.
Only in terms of election, but in terms of once you get there, you have to have the right person. But I think it's a very, very important choice.
Yes, it is, and of course, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So looking ahead, people are saying Trump's running hot right now, but it's a long race. It's over a year to go. But you're engaged in this campaign every second, every day. No one knows how you get the energy for it. God bless you. But they're saying that you're gonna peak, you're going to drop out. How the heck do you maintain your stamina, Donald? Is there a secret?
Well, maybe it's good genes. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm energized, and I've been that way for my life, and it's mostly because I enjoy what I do, and I see a lot of progress. You know, maybe if I were number 17 in the polls or number 15 in the polls, or, you know, some of these guys have actually zero. That means out of thousands of people that are polled, they have nobody said, you know, they'd vote for them. And at some point, they're going to start dropping out. And maybe if I were number 15, I wouldn't feel so much stamina, but it's nice to be number one, and really number one by a lot. So we'll
you are, by a huge margin. You've struck a chord. People are trying to explain it. The very people who attacked you in the beginning are now suddenly coming around saying, well, maybe he's not so bad, because they're hedging their bets that you just might win. I feel you will win if you sustain it. And the only thing I ask out of this support for you is simple. I only want to run the NIH, and I want to clean up the science and medical establishments in America, which are as corrupt as you can imagine. They're doing no basic science. Medicine has been corrupted by politics. Instead of producing scientific reports, everything has to have something about global warming in it or gender identity.
True.
We have a problem at every level of this country has a problem, and it wasn't started by Obama, but I hope it's ended by Donald Trump.
Well, you're going to see a lot of things happen. If I win, you're going to see a lot of things happen. And, you know, my theme is Make America Great Again. That's what's going to happen, Michael.
Donald, you probably have another show to go to, but do you want to spend 5 more minutes with me after this commercial break, or you have to run along?
Well, how long is your break, Mike?
It's too... Okay.
How long is your break?
You could probably appear on Telemundo during the break.
Time, and I'd much rather do it the next time, because I'm not another show, but I have people coming in, and they are, it's a whole big group of people.
No, that's okay. You don't have to explain. I'm very happy to have had you on for 15 minutes. See you in Mar-a-Lago this winter, I hope.
Very good.
I hope. Thanks, Donald. God bless you. Good luck. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, you know, if you've listened to my show for any length of time, you know all of the different moods that I have and such. I was elated to have Donald Trump on, not so much because he's a ratings getter. You know, that's intermittent here and there in radio. It doesn't really matter over a long period of time. It's because we finally have a straight talker running for office. All the rest are carefully scripted. They read scripts that are written for them. I asked Donald straight up questions. He didn't, by the way, his team did not ask me for questions in advance. Just have to take my word for it. Did you notice his answers? They were straight up. The man understands things. He understands many things, especially business, which I cannot say for other individuals such as Barack Obama, who has never sold, so far as I know, shave ice on the streets of Honolulu. Barack Obama has no business experience, no knowledge of business. But the other Republicans, I mean, you look at the field, for God's sakes. So we had a great interview. It was as good as any. We're going to put it on michaelsavage.com. We talked about tariffs. We talked about what he would do against ISIS. I forget what else we touched on. And he'll be back, and he's in for the long haul. And I think he's going to win unless the Republicans undermine him further, which they're going to try to do. And we must stop them from doing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. We live in such depressing times that when you hear an optimist like Donald Trump, it lifts your spirits. I mean, listen to what I just said to you. The others are so depressing to listen to. And I hear the standard attacks on Donald Trump. You're going to hear them now because I'm opening the lines up to people calling about the interview. If you missed my interview with Donald, it'll be up on the website, michaelsavage.com, right after the show. And you'll hear for yourself. Now, standard operating procedure is to say this and that about Trump, and I hear the same repeated lies over and over again. And I'm a champion of Trump. I'll be very honest with you. I like the man. I've only met him a few times personally. Full disclosure, I'm a member of the Mar-a-Lago Country Club that he owns in Florida, but I don't go there. I go to Florida about a week a year. I go to the club about once a year, twice a year. That's about it. And when he's there, I say hello. He says hello. There's nothing else between us, nothing else at all. I just know that he could turn this country around. I've been in the business long enough to know that it takes charisma as well as ideas to change the course of a nation. Look at what this charismatic left-wing fanatic has done to this country and the world. And look at what this charismatic left-wing phony Obama is about to do to the world by giving Iran a bomb. Take a look at what's going to happen. So, you know, my next big book is called Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. And I hope after it comes out and establishes itself as a document in this nation, Trump becomes president the following year, and we can change the title to whoever writes the book, because I'm not writing anymore after that. It'll be a dog book after that, and maybe a book on health. That's about it. I'm through. I've done my job. But I want to go to you, the callers, on the Savage Nation, on the Trump interview, on the lies about global warming, putting out by this president of ours. The Alaskan glaciers, Mr. Obama, have been melting under every president since George Washington. But he didn't learn that in the gutters of Chicago as he ran around with a staple gun as a community organizer. This global warming hype is so overwhelming that someone's got to stand up to him. All right, let's go to the callers. Let's go to BAP in Dallas first. Jackie, welcome. What did you think of Donald Trump?
Thank you, sir. You know, my opinion of Donald Trump is not that he's a bad person or that he would be necessarily bad for the country. But being from Texas, I know the difference in a straight talker and a very outspoken and opinionated man. And I think his ideas are big and very general in nature, but I don't hear the specifics when it comes to when you question him about tariffs. I don't hear the specifics about what that is or what devaluing the currency even means.
Well, let me defend Trump because I've heard this before from people who say he's not specific enough, but I think they're wrong. He was very specific. When I said, would you impose tariffs on China? He went on and on for at least 4 minutes. When I said, what would you do to stop ISIS? He said, yes, I would bomb their training camps. How much more specific can anyone be?
You know, I just think that's not specific. I mean, those are just...
Wait, bombing training camps is... Wait a minute, sir. Dropping bombs on ISIS training camps is very specific. I think what you are espousing is the stuff you're hearing from people in radio who claim to be conservatives who are trying to pretend that they're not against Trump but are really trying to undermine Trump to make sure one of their fellow travelers becomes president or gets the nomination. And I think that if you listen to him, he's very specific. Why else do you think he's rising so high in the polls above the other candidates?
Because he's talking he's talking ideas and he's talking big and he's talking tough. That's why he's being followed. That's why he's got the polls.
I agree with you on what you said. So what's wrong with talking tough in a world when no one on the Republican or conservative side dares say a word against the left-wing juggernaut?
I can't say no one. I think there's a handful of very strong people in this race you know, that would be great leaders for the country.
I think that they're wonderful people, unelectable. Can you name one of the Republicans who has the charisma of Donald Trump?
Well, I wouldn't elect a man based on charisma alone. That's not enough.
Well, it is enough. It is enough. Take a look at what charisma alone has done with Barack Obama. This man is empty as they make them. He's an empty suit with great charisma and a great voice. And look at the damage he's been able to do with his charisma. So the thing that we need right now is someone with greater charisma with conservative ideas. Thank you for the call. My opinion. Three facts to counter Barack Obama's Alaska global warming hype from the Climate Change Dispatch, one of the best websites ever invented. Glad he went to Alaska. You want the facts? One, global temperatures have been flat for nearly 19 years. Fact two, polar ice is not dangerously melting. I'll give you the details later. Fact three, extreme weather is declining. Shall I go on? Now, if you really want to know what's happening to our climate, and if you really want to investigate this issue of climate science, would you invest 10 minutes and go to Google and Google Vostok, the Vostok ice core samples? To me, that was the clinching evidence. But that requires work. That requires work. That requires a little reading and thinking. And once you study the Vostok ice core samples, which were extracted from 5 miles beneath the polar ice caps by a team of international scientists, you'll find out that global warming has ebbed and flowed over the millennia. This is not to argue for pollution. This is not to say we all wouldn't like hydrogen cars and everything running off solar energy. That's, you know, a dream that I had when I was a little boy reading Popular Mechanics. We'd all be flying around little air packs behind our back. And everything would be powered by the sun and we'd have a clean world. That's a great idea. It's a great vision. But we're not there yet. And if you're interested in real science as opposed to the propaganda being put out by big global warming, one of the greatest threats to humanity I've ever seen. Okay, next topic, tariffs. Pat, WJR, you're on the Savage Nation, 30 seconds or less.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I feel obligated to point out each and every item brought in from China to this country has an assigned duty. For example, cigarette lighters, knives, 10%, flat 10% every one. 10 cents is 11 cents on every item for more than 30 years. If it's something that we do and produce in this country, such as cotton, okay, gloves, jerseys, underwear, that will be based, the tariff on that, if we had a terrific year with our cotton, tariffs will be as high as 25%. If we've had a real low production year, they'll go down to 6 or 8%.
Well, my friend, products from the United States that go even to Mexico that are not qualified being tariff-free under the NAFTA rules, do you know that they're subject to Mexico's MFN rates of duty? Are you aware of the tariff table?
I know China, and I know the duty. I'm an independent conservative. I'm not against Donald Trump. I'm just...
No, I understand, but we're having a rational discussion. I'm not attacking you. But are you aware of the tariffs that are put on goods going into Mexico? From us? You must be in the business of exporting textiles, correct?
No. Importing.
If you were to try and to send yarn made of silk, wool, cotton into Mexico, you'd pay a 10% tariff rate. Do you know that?
No. For Mexico, I don't know that. I don't do any business with Mexico or ever have.
If you were trying to send in knit fabrics, non-woven, industrial, 10%. Apparel, they're charging us 20 to 25%. If you were to sell Mexico, let's say you're a manufacturer in America making beds, baths, kitchen linens, 15 to 25% slapped on it by the Mexican government. You want to sell carpets in Mexico made in America? 15%. You want to sell shoes made in America? 30%. And why is Mexico putting a 30% tariff on shoes? Because they make shoes. And they want to put us out of business, the same way the Japanese put us out of the electronics business. So, my friend, there's a lot more to it than a single item, and there's a lot more to it than just China. We're being traded to death, not only by China, but by Mexico and every other country. And the reason is simple, is because our politicians are nothing but glorified prostitutes. And whoever can reach them with a payoff in the form of a campaign contribution gets what they want. And America's interests are never, ever, ever put first. America first, my friends. Never forget that. And that's why Donald is hated. Because these professional prostitutes called politicians have been raking in the millions and millions of dollars in contributions from all of these foreign entities and interests, and they don't want the money to stop flowing. They'd be out of business. That's the main reason you're hearing the anti-Donald Trump rhetoric. And that's it. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, basic economics tell us that you put tariffs on China goods, 20%, and if they don't revalue their currency correctly, you add 5% each year until they do. You punish them. You punish them, and then suddenly they come around. That's called negotiating. And by the way, he said something interesting right at the beginning. He said that he's going to hire Carl Icahn as one of his negotiators. Did you hear that on the show? I hadn't heard that on any other radio or television show. Now, for those of you who know about the legendary Carl Icahn, my God, would I love to have Carl Icahn sitting across the table from those wonderful friends of ours in China? And there's a lot more to be said for the government that Donald Trump would bring in. He'd strike down the Anchor Babies Law, point 8 of the Savage Manifesto. Eliminate the loophole in our law that encourages illegal immigrants to enter this country for the purpose of having anchor babies or U.S. citizens simply because they happen to have been born in our hospitals. That's point number 8 of my 37-point plan. I'm the architect of much of what you're hearing from conservatives today. Whether they admit it or not doesn't matter to me. Whether they even know it came from my book doesn't matter to me. All I know is that their script writers have read my work. And I wrote this 37-point Savage Manifesto. English only, close the borders, defend the borders, defund and repeal Obamacare, reduce the size and scope of government, liquidate TARP, oil for illegals, strike down Anchor Babies Law, export jailed illegal aliens, she's gone. Point 11, Michael Savage, use profiling to prevent terror attacks. So, you know, say, am I being specific enough or am I just a bombastic radio host? Well, you could have it any way you want. If you want to paint me as a bombastic radio host who is an ignoramus, you can do that. But if you dare take the time to read any of my books, my most recent is Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm reading now from Trickle Up Poverty. My next book will be Government Zero. You will see the greatest mind of our generation in the history of politics sitting right before this microphone. And I'm going to say it because no one else will. It's that simple. Do I get the credit for that? Has anyone ever said that? I am the man that everyone's copied in this business. Everyone. And I give you specifics in my books. I generalize on the radio. I'll admit it. The radio's a different medium than the written word. You have to use a different rhetoric on the radio than in the written word. You have to speak in broad strokes on the radio to keep the audience listening. To communicate with a mass audience, you use a different language structure. It's a very complicated difference between the written word and the spoken word. Which is why when a person reads something, even from their own books, which I have done, it comes across wrong on radio. I can hear it. I've got the ears that can hear what sounds right and what sounds wrong from my own voice. If I read from my own books, it doesn't sound right on the radio because it doesn't sound clean. It doesn't read correctly. The syntax is wrong. So anyway, you know, you can get what you want out of me. You want to paint me as one thing, you can do so, but you'd be wrong. You want to really understand me? You really want to understand my genius? Then you read my books. Until then, keep your mouth shut. Because you're just showing your own ignorance. You're not showing your intelligence by shooting your mouth off and saying Michael Savage is this, Michael Savage is that, when you either never read one of my books or never heard one of my shows. Just pay attention very carefully. Because the most important people in the world listen to this show. And I'll tell you another little secret that I've learned. Many of the people who are the biggest liberals on earth listen to this show and agree with most of what I happen to say, but they're afraid to say it themselves. They're secret Murano, they're Murano Savage listeners. Look up Murano, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, when I come back, I want to hear what you have to say about Trump. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I think I'll have a lot of Democrats. You know, Reagan had Democrats for Reagan. It was a very big group of people in a very big block. I think I will have a lot of Democrats voting for me far more than any Republican for the last long period of time. I will say this, and I will say this, you know, very strongly. The Republican conservatives were not energized in the last election. Had they been energized and had they voted, you would have seen victory for Mitt Romney.
He's 100% right. They were turned off by Romney, who wimped out. We know that. Trump on the stump kicks libs in the rump. Let's go to the callers. KSFO, my hometown of San Francisco. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Joe, what's on your mind?
Reagan, Democrats, and I like what Donald Trump says because it comes from within. You can see the way the man talks. It all comes from within. He's not making things up like Obama with the teleprompter. This guy is for real. And I like, he might be another Ronald Reagan.
I missed the first part, Joe. Did you say you're a Democrat?
Yes, I am, and I'm a Ronald Reagan Democrat, like what Donald Trump said. And I voted for Reagan, and I like the man personally because of the way he talks. He doesn't hold back.
Well, I guess that's why you like the Savage Nation show, even though you probably don't agree with a lot of my social policies. But
well,
at least you know
I agree with you about 99.9%. I mean, immigration...
All right, well, that's good enough. That's all. What do I need? 99.9? I don't even agree with myself 99% of the time because the next day I say, did I really mean that? I say, well, I did, but it came off a little harsh, you know. Now, in the time that remains in this hour, we have to spend it very judiciously. It's a word I rarely use on the show. The judicial use of the broadcasting time in which you are investing. There's a huge sellout going on. Obama wants to give Iran the bomb, and it looks like he won. Now, for those of you who are celebrating yet another victory by this thin man, you should think very carefully, because I will again play for you a portion of a speech today by John Kerry, where he admits that they're capitulating and appeasing the mullahs in Iran in order to pass the baton down to the next president, who will have to take them on. We want a real man. We don't want a metrosexual. We don't want another metrosexual in office. And we don't want another soft-spoken, you know, lobbyist like we have now. The expert on climate change. Studied constitutional law in college, doesn't understand the Constitution. Now with no formal scientific training, he's analyzing climate change. And here he is filming a reality show. One thing this proves is that Barack Obama is a genius when it comes to know how dumb his supporters are. That's all. End of story. 15,000 years we've seen this going on. And by the way, on the other side of the earth, in the Antarctic, the ice has been growing. The ice has been growing. And how come the 97% of sellout phony scientists will never debate in an open forum? The 97% of Soviet scientists who receive government grants to put out this big lie about global warming will never debate climate skeptics, ever. Because the Marxist agenda is total. So he changes the name of a mountain, Mount McKinley, to get the Inuits to support his climate change agenda. Unbelievable to me. The man lives in Disneyland. 300 years, 10,000 years ago, North America was covered in 300 feet of ice. And then it slowly started to retreat. I remember there was a famous scientist we had on years ago on the Savage Nation. I forget his name. I think he's a Dutch scientist. He's fabulous. And he tells the story of how as the glaciers were coming down in Sweden, they were growing in the small little ice age. They started to grow. See, they had retreated during a previous warming phase. And the Swedes had inhabited these lands, the alpine lands where the ice had retreated. They built homes. They had some gardens going up there up in the alpine lands. And then suddenly the little ice age occurred. 1500s, and the ice started to move down, come down towards the inhabited areas. And he told the story of how the Swedes had their priests hold crosses before the glaciers that were emerging, asking God to stop the glaciers from crushing their lands, burying their lands under ice. You hear this? I guess Obama didn't study that in his textbook on Alinskyism. Didn't get around to that in the streets of Chicago. in his huddles with Al Sharpton, the other climate genius. The greatest thing I ever heard in my life was Al Sharpton, the uneducated adult street radical, talking about carbon, the pollution of carbon, and how other pollutions like carbon are destroying the world. Unreal. I mean, I don't know who they're talking to. I don't know who they're talking to. I don't know who they're talking to. I don't know who's killing the police. I don't know anything about anything. Now, you know everything. So, anyway, here we are. Trump was the issue today. Iran is the issue today because today was the final straw. That creature, Mikulski. Thank God she's gone. But what she did was she threw a bomb at America as she left. And she threw in with Barry on the Iran deal. I can't imagine what they gave her in return. She held out for the biggest payout she could get. Boy, must she have gotten a payday. So the creature leaves Mikulski, and she says she's supporting the Iran deal after so-called sitting on the fence. I can imagine what that fence had to be made of for her to sit on it this long. But you got to listen to Kerry in clip number two, and you'll hear why Iran must be confronted now when they are relatively weak. Listen to clip two, and I'll explain it to you.
My friends, it just doesn't make sense to conclude that we should vote no now because of what might happen in 15 years, thereby guaranteeing that what might happen in 15 years will actually begin to happen now. Because if this agreement is rejected, every possible reason for worry in the future would have to be confronted now.
Stop there. Would have to be immediately confronted, which is why Kerry and Obama have capitulated and appeased the mullahs in Iran, because they don't want to confront them immediately. They want the next president and the next Congress to have to do the job that these capitulators do not want to do. That's why the so-called deal is a sellout by the Iran-Obama axis of evil. It is a sellout by the Iran-Obama axis of evil because Obama does not want to confront them. He wants to not only capitulate and appease them, I think he is them. And by the way, I'd like to know how much money is being made on Iran deals by members of Congress, their husbands, etc., especially the senators from California. I just can't imagine that they would have missed an opportunity like this. I'd love to know what Soros' holdings are with companies that are going to make billions of dollars with Iran. It'd be just a little hunch I have that there's got to be money involved. But let's go back to Trump. I didn't ask him about Iran. I had only 10, 12, 15 minutes. The next case would have been the Iran deal, which I know he opposes. I think he's going to meet in Washington, give a speech in Washington against it. 200 retired generals and admirals opposed the Iran deal. 200 of them. They can't say a word while they're in office because they get fired. They get smeared and then they get destroyed by the new Stalin. Tom on WMAL, Trump is the question. What's your point?
Yes, sir. Two questions I would ask him. See, he's on my short list. I'm very intrigued. However, there are things that worry. One is, with all her background, cattle futures, all the things that went on during the 90s with her husband in office, why did he support her for Senate? The other question is, how do we take him seriously when he does things like when they were talking some time ago about who he would have.
Well, let's go back to that issue. It's a very important one. Why did he support Hillary Clinton for Senate? What year was that in?
That was earlier. Well, it was 15 years ago, but still, with all the scandals prior to that,
I'm not an apologist for Trump, but I'm going to explain what I think you might hear. Where is Donald Trump's headquarters located?
Well, New York, I know, but then.
Well, let's take it one point at a time. If you were a big developer and a big hotel operator in New York, would you not want to support your senators from New York, those who would support you?
Her campaign before she was senator.
Well, he knew that she'd probably win. He knew what a force she was. And he knew he had to continue doing business. Would you want to turn her into your enemy?
I understand, but again.
I know, because you're a purist who listens to too much talk radio. You're not a realist, and this is what separates me from the others, which is I'm a realist. I'm not just a blabbermouth on the radio who doesn't know the real world or real business. Most of them live in the world of reading papers to each other, reading each other's blogs, listening to each other talk at conferences, but they've never owned so much as a hockey puck stand. They've never sold hockey pucks door to door. I've been a dishwasher. I've been a lifeguard. I've been a factory worker in an ice cream factory. Want me to go down the list? I've been a janitor. I've done all those things. I'm an immigrant son. I've worked my way up from the bottom. I know what the real world is like. I was in a pharmacy assistant when I was 12 years old, and I saw what government does to businessmen when they almost put the pharmacists out of business. This poor Italian guy was eating his lunch at his desk in Queens, and all I did was fill prescriptions. I was 12. I was smart enough to fill a prescription. It said 12 capsules of penicillin, 500 milligrams. He showed me. You look on the P, penicillin. You look to make sure the capsule matches that, and you put it in a vial. So I was filling prescriptions while old Doc ate the lunch that his wife sent. And in comes a man from the city department of whatever, and he looks over the counter and he says to me, "Hi, young man. Hi, what are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I see you're just filling prescriptions." I didn't know anything. I said, "Mm-hmm." I was a kid. I was glad to have a job. I was making 50 cents an hour. It helped me get through high school and buy the few things I needed for myself. I didn't have a big allowance. I had no allowance. I had to work for it. So next thing you know, he goes over to Doc and almost gave him a heart attack. Because he told him he was closing him down because he let a kid fill prescriptions. Now, you may say, okay, that makes sense. No kid should be able to fill prescriptions. Well, in those days, a 12-year-old kid like me probably was as smart as the pharmacist coming out of schools today. I didn't have to compound a prescription, although I learned how to do that from Doc as well when I was 11. You see, you put a little of the sulfur powder in. It says 2 milligrams or whatever. And then you put a certain amount of that in here and that, and you grind it. He gave me a mortar and pestle. I was actually making prescriptions. He taught me everything. And I didn't have to go to pharmacy school. What I'm saying is I saw what government could do. I saw it when I was a social worker in New York. 1965, I worked on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and I was ministering to the welfare recipients. It's a very expensive neighborhood now, as is every other neighborhood in Manhattan. Beautiful apartments on Riverside Drive overlooking the Hudson River. Liberal Central now. I love those apartments. I couldn't afford to live in them. Most of them were welfare recipients with garbage cans in the hall, rats in the street. And I started to come of age as a thinker because I was a welfare worker. I saw how they were abusing the system. I wrote a little play about it called The Investigator, which is probably going to be part of a book I put out in the near future of early writings. But so I've been around, I've looked at things with my own eyes, and I've tried to draw my own conclusions, which I think are correct. And as far as I am concerned, Obama is the worst thing that ever happened to America in the entire history of the nation. A foreign army could not have done the damage to the military that he has done. He has so destroyed the military, it could hardly do its job. He has put radical feminists in the highest positions for which they're not qualified in the military. He has lowered the standards. He has destroyed systems. So on a military level, we're weak. On an economic level, this is all hocus pocus. You think this economy has recovered? It's all printed money. It's built upon a house of sand. It's paper. He built the economy back up by printing paper. Trillions and trillions of dollars of substantial debt was created in order to create the sense that we have come back out of the recession. The healthcare system, you may say, that's the greatest thing America, pardon me, has ever done. Well, just like the Iran deal, which he said he doesn't want to confront now, he wants someone else to confront it. Do you have any idea what this socialized medicine is going to do to this country once it clicks in? How are we going to pay for the millions of illegal aliens and their healthcare? Tell me how. Who's going to pay for it? Where is the money going to come from? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? No, it's not a great success. Again, he kicked it down the road, so another administration would have to pay for it and say, holy God, we can't afford this, and then make them look bad when they take away health care from 30 million illegal aliens or God knows how many others. Do you understand that? Climate change. If it's so absolutely proven that man is destroying the earth, then why won't these 97% of so-called scientists ever hold an open debate with climate skeptics? Why do they refuse to debate the same way Hillary Clinton refuses to debate? Because a one-party Marxist government never debates. When have you last seen Jerry Brown debate anything? When have you last seen any Democrat ever debate anything? Tell me. Tell me why the Democrats refuse to debate even amongst themselves. Because that's how Marxism operates. That's how socialism operates. That's how dictatorships operate. No debate. Do it my way or the highway. So if you want to live in North Korea, you're on the road to North Korea by voting for a Democrat. And the only hope we have on the Republican side, now, there are other good men, don't get me wrong. There's some really brilliant, good men. Any one of them would be a better president than Obama is. All the way down to Huckabee, who I happen to respect greatly. But I don't think they're electable. I don't think they have a chance to be elected. I know Trump has a great chance not only to be elected, but to save America. And that's because I started out poor and worked every day of my life since I'm a child to have everything I have right now. No one gave me anything. And I know what it is to work hard and to achieve success. It requires enormous effort and the unwillingness to quit. I could have quit many, many times along the way. I'm not going to sit here and complain to you or cry to you. Some days I get up, I don't even want to do radio. I can't do it. It's too hard for me. And guess what? I go ahead and I do the show because it's an important thing to do, and I come alive doing the show, like today. I'm energized because Donald Trump was on. It's put a shot in the arm for me. It made me feel good. It made me feel hopeful. It made me feel as though I'm helping heal the nation, that we have a shot, however long distance it might be, given the Electoral College, given the fact that the evil, corrupt Clinton machine owns the Electoral College in advance, given the fact that she won't debate anybody, given all these facts, at least we have a glimmer of a hope with Donald Trump. I don't feel the same thing about Cruz. I don't feel the same thing about any of the others. I think they're nothing but tin horn politicians. And that's it. It's one man's opinion. That's how I feel. That's what I say. And if you get on with Savage, you'll reach more people than you have met in your entire life, and I'll be right back to take your calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. In the next hour, we're going to talk about Donald Trump's appearance and also the war on police, primarily by Barack Obama, Al Sharpton, Eric Holder, and Black Lives Matter as their street thugs. Pigs in a blanket, fry me like bacon. The net effect has been to demonize police and diminish the job, driving people out of the business of policing. And ask yourself this question, all you stupid liberals who are celebrating. Who do you think is going to fill the void? The thugs in Black Lives Matter, fry me like bacon, pigs in a blanket. Who do you think is going to apply for these jobs? Gang members. The very thugs who police have kept in check will become the police, which is exactly what Al Sharpton and Barack Obama want. It's chilling when you think about it. Police force losses about double the amount of officers per year than in the past. Police are being driven out of careers by these thugs. The shield has lost its shine. And young men and women who would have gone into this thin blue line are not going in it. So if you want the thugs in Black Lives Matter to be the police, if you want illegal aliens from gangs to become police, you're doing a great job. You are going to see chaos like you've never seen in your life. You're going to see chaos from the white communists and the black radicals who are destroying police across America. That's what I want to talk about. No matter what grand juries have found, no matter what juries have found, no matter what the Justice Department itself has found, they keep up the lying narrative about Ferguson, along with Mr. Climate Change, the man who lies about the glaciers, lies about what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. And this is the result. Total chaos, the breakdown of civil society, the breakdown of science, the breakdown of an America. That's why I'm for Trump. Be here or be not.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's a great day for me because we had a great interview. Whether you like Trump or don't or trust him or not, that's your business. I'm not here to convince you. I mean, I'd like you to believe that he's the right guy and he can defeat Hillary Clinton, who won't debate anybody, and she comes from a corrupt machine, and that America deserves a better shot, and that a rich man is probably safer than a poor man. You know, things like that. But on an emotional level, radio is a very interesting business to be in, especially in interesting times like these. And when you get a mainstream guest like that, I'm not a guest-driven show for two reasons. One, they tend to throw me off, and I'm a free thinker. See, I'm a free thinker. I don't run off scripts. A, free thinker. Number two, I'm a free associator, which is the hardest thing in the world to do in radio. You say it's rambling. Well, all right, you can call it that if you want. But one day I'll explain to you what free association is. It began with the Bible, and then it runs through Irish literature, which I've described for you in the past. Tristram, you know Tristram, the Irish author? I forget who wrote that. What was his name? Great, great piece of work, where he writes as his mind keeps rolling, rolling, rolling. So the whole thing about free association is you take the biggest chances in the world. And either you will, you know, you succeed or you don't succeed. Sometimes you don't, sometimes you do. Today I feel good about it. And I don't really want to get into me and personalities and why I feel good and why I don't feel good. It's not your business. What I had for lunch. You know, you're not interested today. I'm going to save that for Friday, the week, this Friday. Very personal day because most people will be gone. They're taking 15-day weekends now. Nobody was here Monday. The whole week people are gone already. The houses are empty in the white suburbs. No one works. Does anyone work anymore? I don't understand this. Where do they make a living from? Are they living on inheritance, coupons? I don't get it. Who actually goes to work anymore? Other than me, I ask myself every day. Donald Trump goes to work. He runs his business. You know that the very wealthy people work 7 days a week. You don't know that. Everyone I know who's rich works 7 days a week. How is it that you can reach someone worth billions of dollars at any time of the day or night on their iPhone if they want to talk to you? They're working. Whereas other people won't answer a phone other than 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. It's a state of mind. So we need someone to work 7 days a week for America, which is what hopefully we all do in the media. Not just for ourselves and for our ratings, which are very important, but I don't want to go into that right now. I once had a program director way back in the beginning of radio on KSFO, 1994. And I'm one of those guys that came out of a statistical background, and being someone who understood statistics and stuff, I used to read my ratings like people would read horse betting track, you know, prognostications. And he said to me, you know, Michael, he said, ratings in this business go up and down. Don't take them too seriously. I said, what do you mean? He said, because no one could go up, 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 up. Because then you'd have a 10 or a 15 share and there'd be no one else left. It doesn't work that way. People, you know, tune around. They scan up and down. You know, who has a 10 share anymore during the day? Nobody. We're running on 1 shares, 2 shares, 2.5 shares of the entire listening audience. And I guess I have to address that. The audience of talk radio has been diminishing over the last few years for many reasons. A changing media landscape. A changing demographic. Two big factors. Look, if you have 75 to 100 choices to tune into during my show, you're going to probably not tune in. And if you do, you're not going to listen as long as you used to. I used to have the longest TSL in talk radio, time spent listening. People would listen for an hour and a half a day to this show. Those numbers have gone down dramatically, time spent listening, because people don't have the time nor the inclination. And then there's another factor, which is the oversaturation of conservative talk radio by people who never belonged in the business, who only read news stories over and over again, and there's no entertainment value, but they're on the radio, they have good slots, good stations, and they suck the oxygen out of the rest of us. But you go on, that's all. You get up every day, and you're a champion for America's borders, language, and culture. It's been my mantra since 1994, meaning on radio, and it'll be so as long as God wants me to keep talking. Then I will leave radio, and if I'm still living, I'll do something else, which I'm thinking about now. What do I want to do with the rest of my life? And I don't know if I'm going to have a rest of my life, nor if I'm going to leave radio when. It's not now, it's not for a while, but when it happens, and it will, because no one wants to do this 3 hours a day for the rest of their life. But then I ask myself, what am I going to do with myself? I'll take care of animals like I do, I say to myself. But there's a pretty empty world out there. Once you've been in this, which is the most exciting business in the entire world. And I consider myself the luckiest man on earth because there were many years that I was struggling to find myself. And through chance and hard work and never giving up and never quitting, I am here. And I've stayed here despite every possible impediment you can imagine. You can't imagine what was thrown at me to stop me from day one. And I'm telling you all this to thank you. Because I got listeners who've listened to me almost from the day I started. Why I'm doing this now, I don't know. I've no idea why. I told you I'm a free associate. It could be that I had pot roast for lunch and I'm feeling good. That all of the nutrients from meat, which I rarely eat, are finally reaching the brain. I've been starving. I grew up on meat and potatoes. It's very hard to give up. And by the way, worked for them. They were stronger and smarter than we are. See, all these people with good abs, they dropped out at 45 in a marathon. Their Uncle Mo, who had a gut on him and swilled scotch, lived to 93. Well, anyway, that's a separate story. I don't want to overgeneralize. You know it's a joke. There's no guarantee of either way. So I don't know if I want to continue to talk about politics right now or what's going on in the world with the Iran deal. It's a pretty sad day when you see sane generals, 200 retired generals and admirals saying this is the worst possible sellout of America by John Kerry and Barack Obama. And then when I listened to Kerry's speech today on the Iran nuclear deal, which they have already, once again, he can't be stopped. This guy is the luckiest man on earth and the most Machiavellian at the same time. With the least, well, let's leave it at that. The most Machiavellian and the luckiest man, he's under a very lucky star, Barry from Honolulu. Look how far he has gotten on such baloney. Look how far this man has gotten using affirmative action and race and complete and total shenanigans and lies to get where he is, and he doesn't stop. Another man would say, you know, I got socialized medicine, which Hillary Clinton couldn't do. That's enough for me. Now I'm going to leave the people alone. I'm not going to force them to do anything more. But he doesn't stop. Oh, I got homosexual marriage down their throats. I showed those conservative Christians a thing or two. Another man would say, gee, what an amazing thing that is. That would be enough. Not for him. The very next day, he was on his vendetta. Stop the Keystone XL pipeline to pay off Warren Buffett, in my opinion, who brings oil in on the railway cars and doesn't want competition in the form of an oil pipeline. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's as simple as that. Politics work that way. One thing after another doesn't stop in his quest to decimate America and all of its values and turn this nation into something you could never imagine it would have been. And now he's on to his next signature event, which is giving the most terrorist nation on earth, Iran, and they are the most terrorist-supporting nation on earth, who until this very day say death to America, death to Israel, death to America, death to Israel, rewarding the psychotic mullahs with a pathway to a nuclear weapon for one reason only, or at least one apparent reason, is because they are afraid to confront Iran now. Either we don't have the military capacity to do so, and I'm not sure we do. I think he has so decimated the military that I'm not so sure that a military campaign would stop Iran. The United States has been so decapitated militarily and so hollowed out, I'm not so sure we could take Iran's nuclear capacities down militarily. I'm not sure we can do it. I think this man has been so effective in ruining the military, which is something that the left has wanted to do ever since I was a young man in college. They've been wanting to destroy the military and the police. I'm not so sure we could do it. But even if we had a leader who did want to stop Iran militarily, which we don't, because he doesn't want to, Kerry said, if this agreement is rejected, every possibility for worry, every possible reason for worry in the future would have to be confronted now immediately, which exactly is why they should be confronted right now, because Iran is relatively weak militarily. And by appeasing the mullahs in Iran, by capitulating to these terrorists in Iran right now, appeasing them right now. Do you know why? Because they're afraid to confront them right now or don't want to confront them right now. They're selling out to Iran because they want to triangulate Israel. There's only one reason for this, several reasons. One, you have to look at the money. Billions of dollars are going to be made by the gangsters who are behind this administration. Billions of dollars will be made on every imaginable front. They're rushing into Iran to deal the same way they rushed to do business with Hitler. They're doing the same thing with the Hitlers and headscarves. You have no idea what kind of money, what fortunes are being made on this Iran deal. We won't learn about it for years to come. Are we going to get a presidential historian to tell you that? That plagiarizer, Doris Kearns Badwin? Doris Kearns Badwin. Every other day she's consulted as an expert on the presidency. The plagiarizer. They rehabilitated her. No, no, you have to use common sense. Billions will be made on this deal. That's number one. Number two, once Iran has nuclear weapons, Israel will be forced to give up Judea and Samaria to those people who are dedicated to destroying them. That's what Obama wants. Now, I can guarantee you something else. Mark this down this day. Mark it down. Make a note right now. When Obama gets the deal, which he's just about gotten, he's outmaneuvered his opponents. Once he gets this deal and Iran gets the weapons, or is on the road to getting the weapons, he will get another Nobel Prize. That he'll have a twofer. He got one for being nobody, just for being the first non-white president in American history. I don't know how else to put it, because it wouldn't be fair to say he's the first black president, given that his mother had something to do with his heritage. I'm sorry. Given that he was the first non-white president and did nothing to achieve it, he was given a Nobel Prize. So now we'll get a Nobel Prize for giving Iran the bomb. This is what the EU is made of today, and the jerks at Sweden who give out the dynamite prize. I call the Nobel Prize the dynamite prize. It's ironic, isn't it, that the Nobel Peace Prize is living off the royalties of dynamite. Trinitrotoluene. It's amazing to me how things work in the world. It's all a paradox. So he'll get another one for that. And you won't feel it at all. You won't feel it right now. You're not going to feel anything about Iran right now. They're not going to have a bomb tomorrow, not while he's in office. Are you kidding? I can guarantee you, as I sit here, that even if they could have one tomorrow, part of this deal is please don't do anything while I'm in office. Please do it when a Republican, hopefully Donald Trump, is in office, so we can blame him for all the problems in the world. You know, do it to him. Create trouble for him. So that's that story, which we can talk about. We can talk about Donald Trump on the show, which, again, I'm having an MP3 piece made of the interview, if you missed it. And I'll put it on michaelsavage.com so you can listen to it at, you know, at your leisure, what they call, download it whenever you want. Let's get some calls now on the subject at hand, which is the Trump visit. Many people are not too happy with him, by the way. Julie, WMAL in Washington, D.C., go ahead. You're anti-Trump. Why?
Hi. I'm excited about Trump and everything he has to say. My one concern is that he doesn't seem the type of person, with all the businesses he's run, that he's not used to hearing or getting his own way. And in that way, I'd be afraid that he'd be like Obama.
Well, that's a good thing. We need someone who can get his own way and override all of the other opposition through sheer force of will, because he wants to build a wall with Mexico. That's something he wants to do. I don't think you'd disagree with that, do you?
No, I like what he wants to do, but I don't.
Good. So what he wanted to do, get on his hands and knees and beg the ACLU or La Raza whether he can build a wall? He could tell them to go to hell. I'm building the wall. That's what we need, is someone to tell La Raza to go back where they came from. Go back to the communist left in Mexico, where you came from before you infected this nation with your big lies. It's unbelievable to me. La Raza means the race. What nation on earth would let a racist organization like this dictate its foreign policy with Mexico? Tell me.
I just don't want him to think that he can override Congress, because that would be hypocritical, because that's exactly what Obama has.
Well, what do you mean hypocritical? We've put up with a mini dictatorship now for all these years. A man who has changed the rules and then gone around Congress to warp America. Don't we need someone to do the same thing to put America back to where it was, make America great again?
Well, that's true. That's true. That's what.
In other words, you know, you could sit there and say, I'm a constitutionalist and I want it done according to the law and I want it done crossing every T and dotting every I. And you know, we'll get nothing. We'll get nothing done. We'll have another John Boehner. Clink, I call him. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You know, some songs get stuck in my head. I can't get them out. I wish there was a technique, like a tune in the head. trying to substitute it with a prayer of some kind. Anyway, we're talking about the news of the day, borders, language, culture. Donald Trump was on the show. We're talking about the Iran deal. We're talking about the war on police started by the community organizer in grief. We're talking about all of the issues of the day on the Savage Nation. If you care to join the program, give it a shot, 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. That's my dog, Teddy, shaking his collar in the background. He thinks that the show is over. It's not, Teddy. We got 30 more minutes. Stop it. He leads me right into the radio couch. He knows the minute the show, dogs are amazing. He knows that the minute the show is over, the guy leads me, looks at me, and he looks right to the couch, and he guides me right to the dark room to lay down. I love dogs in their time. Oh, my God, we're out of this now. The ratings are in. I'm thriving. Why are my ratings so high on WMAL in Washington, D.C.? They're through the roof. A 3.7 share with it. I guess I'm not allowed to mention it. A 9,300 AQH is pretty big. In Washington, D.C. So who's listening to me? I'm a phenomenon in Washington. Anyway, I'll be back to take your calls right here in the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. When we're riding in the car and we approach a certain place, he gets lovey-dovey and starts kissing my ear. He knows just how to go behind my right ear and kiss me where I almost go off the road. And I say, oh, Teddy, stop. So they know love. They know love. There's a picture of me sitting on a lawn chair. I don't know why I'm drifting off. Maybe I just want to relax. It's coming up to Labor Day weekend. Forgive me for reminiscing. I have a picture on my desk as I broadcast of my last dog, Snowy, before she got sick. And she was a Sheltie. Boy, did I love her. There I am with the garden hat, the chair. I look better today than I did then. But you think there's a heaven? I mean, Steinbeck said, John Steinbeck, you know, the American writer. I don't think he's taught in schools anymore because he didn't write Jenny Has Two Mommies. John Steinbeck, one of America's greatest writers, wrote, he was an animal lover. You remember he wrote Travels with Charlie? But Steinbeck wrote that when we die, we go to a place called heaven in which our animals, our pets, are the rulers, and we're their pets, and they treat us the way we treated them. So I know that I'm going to have a lot of roast beef and carrots in the next world. Teddy's going to be probably having a new car up there. And I hope he has a dog radio show. I can sit under his desk and listen. But, you know, you ask yourself these questions. They're silly questions in many ways. They're lightweight silly questions. But so what? So what? It's a long day's journey into night for all of us, isn't it? Isn't it a long day's journey into night for you? And how long can you sit? You know, I listen to talk radio off and on. I tune in here, and I can't listen to it. What I hear are like old college professors boring me to death, as though every word they say is the gospel, and if you don't write it down, you're going to fail their exam. Who wants to listen to that, I say to myself? Can't you make it entertaining? Can't you make it exciting? Can't you stop doing Bill Clinton imitations? Can't you stop talking about Hillary for 10 seconds? Nope. They go on and on and on. Everyone has their own way, and everyone has to do what they think. So here we are, sitting here, watching the world go round. Bratton warns of tough times ahead for police. He's doing a great job, the police chief in New York, but I don't think I want to get off topic right now. Let's take some callers. Here's someone who says that this would be a bad idea. Linda on WBAP, what would be a bad idea? Hold it. Line 5, Linda, what would be a bad idea from Dallas?
Earlier you mentioned Trump the arena ticket, and I think that would be a bad ticket because when she was at Hewlett-Packard, she was a poor executive. She failed to execute properly, which is the number one role of an executive. She exported 30,000 jobs from Hewlett-Packard.
You know, you're 100% right. You're 100% right, so we have to strike Fiorina from the record. I think that's why the liberals decided to have her on in the debate on CNN, because she espouses their philosophies. You're right, I forgot that. Thank you for reminding me. You know, we're all fallible. So I would say a Trump-Carson ticket would be good. What do you think of that?
That would be more palatable, but I think that even Carson, Dr. Carson, as much as I like him, I don't think he has the experience to be vice president or president, for that matter.
Now, that's an interesting statement. Let's analyze that for a minute. Let's start with Dr. Carson's realities. The man is a pediatric neurosurgeon. That's a field you cannot fake. You cannot become a pediatric neurosurgeon the same way you can become a community organizer. You can't fake it. Nobody can promote you within those fields to perform neurosurgery on babies unless you're at the top of the skill set. So we all agree that he's a super highly qualified and very intelligent man, right?
Yes.
Okay. Aren't those qualifications enough when you have such second and third rate individuals in government?
No, not in and of themselves. He is a brilliant surgeon, but I'm afraid he does not have the background to represent this country internationally, for example. He has.
Well, wait, did Obama had zero abilities internationally? He had no foreign policy experience whatsoever. In fact, it was his greatest weakness, which the dummy John McCain didn't exploit. It's why people were ready to elect that warmonger, John McCain, as opposed to Obama, but the Republicans told McCain to lay off Obama. No, Obama had no foreign policy experience. You know, I don't understand why it would inhibit a man with intelligence who knows what's going on from conducting decent foreign policy.
Well, he has already given some answers to questions that were very problematic when it comes to foreign policy.
So who would you say, okay, well, let's start with the beginning of this. Are you opposed to Donald Trump, or do you support him?
I believe that Carly Fiorina, the Fox News declared her that...
Wait, hold it, ma'am. Are you opposed to Donald Trump, or would you support him? Put aside the VP question.
...commentator for Fox News.
Ma'am, you're not answering a question. I need to ask you again. Would you support Donald Trump? Let's put aside the VP question. Would you support Trump or would you oppose him?
No, I support him totally, 100%.
All right, fine. I needed to find out if you were just a Democrat calling under the guise of caring. Okay, so you care about Trump. You'd like to see him win. You don't think that a woman or a black man would help him get elected. Who then could he pick for VP?
I'm trying to think from the ones who are running against him. Perhaps Cruz. But he's a bit problematic, too. I think Cruz, when President Trump is elected, I hope that he appoints Cruz to the Supreme Court.
Well, I would like to see Cruz running one of the major, let us say one of the major departments would be great to have Cruz. I think Cruz has limitations as a leader. And there are reasons I say that, because there's a difference between being intelligent, having good positions, and being electable. I don't think he's electable nationally for reasons I don't want to mention right here, because I don't want to undermine him. But I still think that, I'm sorry to say that this country's racially quite volatile right now because of all the years of community organizing by Obama. Don't you think that having an African-American running mate would help him with the African-American vote?
No, I think that Mr. Trump can win the African-American vote just by being himself. I have many African-American friends who say that they are going to support Mr. Trump. They like him.
They like him because he's a straight shooter and they like straight talk after all the liars. I get that. I understand that very well. Even Democrats who are African, the Democrats will vote for him because they're tired of the liar Hillary Clinton. I get that. But don't you think that there are a lot of others, swing voters who are not as thoughtful or as intelligent as your friends, who might just vote based upon image?
No, I believe that Mr. Trump will carry a significant part of the black vote. The Democrats are going to be surprised in this election.
All right, so we haven't picked a running mate yet. I suppose we'd have to go, and I thank you for a very detailed analysis, and I'm glad I gave you the time to finish your thoughts. I would think that someone extremely strong on the military, I think a former general would be the perfect running mate for Donald Trump. And I mean a Patton-like general. I mean a take-no-prisoners, fuming, fire-breathing dragon if there are any left. And I don't know where they would be. Maybe a retired general from another era. I mean one of the old-time military types who would strike fear into the hearts of our opponents and our enemies. That's what would be just what the country needs. Not one of these MBA, as good as they may be, corporate kind of guys who never say anything that's true. I think we need a fire-breathing Patton. If I don't know where you'd find one. But that's what America needs right now, to stare down our enemies. And there's another element to all this. I heard Trump mention, not on my show, that he could do business with Putin, which I liked hearing. I can guarantee you that our relations with Russia would greatly improve under Trump. They would not be in the sad state that they're in right now. How could we take a nation that was our ally when this community organizer came to power? Russia was our ally. We were doing business with Russia. How could we have done this? How could we have set relations with Russia back 50 years, creating a new Cold War? How could he have done this? And he doesn't even, no one ever says a word. You talk about a Nobel Prize? Obama should be given the anti-Nobel Prize just for what he has done to reignite a Cold War with Russia. That's a whole separate issue, but you won't hear about that because Associated Press, Yahoo, Reuters, all the other leftist propaganda outlets are not going to ever discuss that. And none of the intelligentsia ever discusses what he's done with Russia. They all accept that Putin's no good. My friends, you need to study Russian history to understand what Russia is. Most of you are ignorant of Russia's history. Most of you don't know how many Russians died liberating the world from Hitler. We know what we paid, what price we as a nation paid. The Russians paid tenfold what we paid. The Russians lost, I think the number was 400,000 men in the last months of the war, just taking Berlin. Just the rubble of Berlin, they lost 400,000 young men in the fight. I mean, you look at the battles of Leningrad, Stalingrad. You look how Russia almost lost to Hitler, and they wouldn't give in. You know how Stalin, as evil as he was a master, a genius, a military genius. That's the paradox of some of these dictators. They were military geniuses, and he was a greater genius than Hitler, by the way, militarily. Hitler was a maniac. Hitler made many mistakes, thank God. And Stalin, as evil as he was, waited until the Russians were almost destroyed in their taking of Stalingrad. Then the winter came, as you know. And then what did Stalin do? He released his troops, his reserve troops. He kept back, I think the number was 500,000 Siberian warriors. Siberian troops came out of nowhere wearing perfect winter clothing with white painted tanks and ran over the German lines in Stalingrad and crushed them to death. And as a result of that, there were 400,000 German prisoners, of whom 800, I think, returned to Germany after the war. Because let me tell you something, the Russians take no prisoners. And then when they do take prisoners, very few survive their prison camps. That nation has not changed that much. And when you're messing with a nation as powerful as that, which has built up its military as opposed to a man like Obama who has decimated our military, you're playing with fire when you start rattling sabers. So I think that Trump, who says he can do business with Putin and get along with him, because they're kind of similar. They're similar in so many ways. Strong-willed, Machiavellian, straight force of will. They're strong men in plain English. And what this nation is needing so desperately is a strong man who loves America rather than a weak man who's devious and hates America. Is that clear enough for you? Shall I repeat it for you? Write it down. Send it to Media Matters if you want. Write it down. Send it to those louts. Because when Trump becomes president, one of the first things I'm going to do is make sure that every member of the left-wing fanatic organizations in this country, I'd love to be put in charge of a new office that would investigate the most anti-American organizations. Media Matters, funded by Soros. The ACLU, God knows who funds those animals. The anti-Christian libertarian the anti-Christian libertine union. I would go after every one of these front groups. I would decimate them on their donations, and I would indict them when I find that they've committed some kind of felony, which they probably have done. I would do to them in spades what they have done to conservative organizations. And then I would turn the country back to Congress and the president, as opposed to these special interest left-wing organizations which are really running the country. That's one of the things I would do. I wish there was such an office. It could be something like a new example of UAC, which puts the fear of God into liberals. The minute I say UAC, the House Un-American Activities Committee, they go insane. They scream, McCarthy! 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 What we need is McCarthy. What we need is a brave senator who will look into the communist infiltration into the United States of America, and they ought to start in the executive office. They don't have to go any further than Frank Marshall Davis's offspring. Yeah, we need a new UAC. I'd like to run it. Maybe I'll ask Trump to let me run UAC instead of to run the NIH. Just kidding. Just the talk shows with no ambitions whatsoever. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
My name is Bill.
Voices, voices, voices. What would the media do if they looked at a photo that I found from 1959? Of a U.S. naval submarine, I think it was the USS Skate, which surfaced in the Arctic at the North Pole, because there was melt ice back in that year, 1959, right? Ship surfaces, submarine comes up. What would the media say? What would MSNBC be running? North Pole, open water! Global warming melts ice cap! But it occurred back then, 1959. The ice was pretty thin. In fact, it was so thin the deckhands had to chip it off after surfacing. And there's a newsreel of it. But if you really want the facts, the easiest fact on global warming is the six ice ages that preceded us, followed by warming. Again, we're not arguing for pollution. Don't put me in that category. I probably have done more than most of the global warming gangsters to save what there is of this earth to save in the environment. I've done more. I'm not going to sell it to you. I don't care what you think. I know what I've done. Museums house my plant collections. I've been involved in the environmental area, the ecological area, since the 1960s. And if I really thought that it was anthropogenic generated, I would say so. But I'm pretty sure it's 100% not. It's the greatest scam in my lifetime. The greatest big lie I've ever seen in my lifetime, and only this thin man could pull it off. If he could get away with gay marriage, if he could get away with socialized medicine, if he could get away with changing the Constitution, why can't he lie about this and go up there in his billion-dollar airplane with his entourage, billowing carbon dioxide and other toxicants into the environment, then going on a boat ride, again destroying the environment, and tell us how bad the environment is because of man? What a phony! And the Iran deal is even a bigger fraud. It's meant for one reason only: to triangulate Israel and make them give up Judea and Samaria to those who would destroy them. Have a nice day.